All right, everyone. Fuck, what was that? All right. I said my next one was going to be one I've got in the can, but I've got a, which I am working on, but a lot of people dug the car podcast, and I've got, rehearsal tonight, with Mirrors again, for this tour we got this week, and I was like, as I was about to leave, I'm like, thinking about I should chuck on and listen to on the way there, but I'm like, hold on a minute. So content's content. But especially in the midst of this absolute nightmare gig season at the moment. So we had we've got the last rehearsal before this Wage War tour, and I think this is just our second and last rehearsal, because it was just firstly, this was a very last minute. Well, and by last minute, I think we had like 3 weeks notice roughly for this one. So, we did at the time scramble as best we could, because we like to get 3 to 4, depending on how fresh we are. If we haven't gigged for a while, 4 rehearsals is good. And that's if we're not adding anything new. Otherwise, if we're still relatively fresh, a couple's fine. We wanted to get like a good 4, seeing it's just been a little bit. But just, yeah, scheduling is a bit of a nightmare with different people's work and all that kind of stuff. And there was like some last minute, cancellations and whatnot. So here we are. But I got a pretty solid sweat up last night dusting the set off again. The first run through was like a bit rough, but put in a little bit. I've been like juggling like all these different sets that are coming up, so yeah, it's been like kind of tricky. But last night, I went pretty hard on like getting it like really, really dialed in for tonight, because show's tomorrow night, so like, well, but it felt really, really good by the end, even to the point where like, because even when you're not like working on a particular set for a for a particular band or whatever, in my case anyway, like I'm still working on stuff like for different, like for anything, like whether it's my own personal practice or anything, like I'm still building towards like a quality of sound and execution and all that kind of stuff. So even if, say, I haven't worked on, for example, the Mirror stuff for a bit, I'm still working on consistency and accuracy and tone and time and all those things. So I'm coming, if anything, it's like kind of good, because it's a weird thing where even if you have improved, generally, when you've been working with a particular band for a long time, it comes back to muscle memory. So, you don't just develop the muscle memory of what to do in a particular song, but also how you do it kind of comes into play. And if you're developing your overall skill set, if it's still relatively new in its improvements, then when you keep going back to a certain band, that learned skill set from before is still kind of there. It's very weird, and it's kind of frustrating. You almost have to like relearn every time you go back into something that you've done multiple times. So in this sense, not having done as much of the Mirror stuff has been kind of beneficial, because like I've been off recording myself a lot more and building on producing better sounds, and like I don't just mean with the tuning of the drums and the actual recording, but in the execution. So Yeah, like coming back and playing through this mirror stuff, it's like I can sort of, I'm starting to feel and hear that new level of consistency transferring over as well. Plus, I started digging into the tuning as well a little bit more. I finally dusted off that that tuning DVD I was looking to get back into because, you know, as I've said, that's a direction I really want to take and really focus on. And I'm talking like I'd like the tape measure out, and because one of the things that he was like talking about was just making sure everything is in round. So like checking like the diameter of your drums and making sure that they're all, you know, in round. In some cases, there could be like some cognitive bias involved, but if the shells aren't in round, they're fucked. Like that's pretty much it. So and I don't know what the tolerance is for like drums, you know, being in round in their tuning capability. But, you know, I found that like say one of my toms was like a millimeter out of round. I don't know how bad that is, but either way. But at least with the hoops, they were somewhere like, yeah, just like, a, you know, 2-3 mil out of round. So luckily you can bend those back into shape. And there's other things you can do to make sure that they're, you know, they're flat, all that kind of shit. So like my 12-inch tom that was like, usually there's like some shitty overtones and stuff that I've sort of learned to work with. But I sort of went and sort of got bent the hoop back into round again, or close, you know, or at least better. Went back, tuned it up, did sort of employ like a few other things that were involved in this DVD, and fucking off the bat, I'm like, man, this just kit sounds so much better. So that kind of plays into it as well. Like, that's a huge deal. Like, it's a tough one for like people starting, because I know I started practicing a lot more when my drums sounded better. And this is something that's happening with my students too. I've got like one student who, like, she's got an electronic kit, but like she had like only a couple of like, they were just like uncomfortable, like, because an electronic kit is just, you know, the sounds are the sounds. But in her case, there was just like a screw missing here that sort of made the bass drum kind of move a bit, and she didn't have a cable. I couldn't remember what the specific thing was, but the hi-hat pedal that opens and closes the hats was it was non-functional. She needed a new cable. I can't remember, but she got both of those things fixed, and now she's like, I fucking love playing it now. So even something as minor as that can like ruin your enjoyment, you know. But like, what are you gonna do? Like, you're gonna, you know, buy a $4,000 kit when you're first starting out just for your own enjoyment? I think it's a big part of, you know, I think just about every drummer would agree that like learning to deal with a shitty kit and trying to make it sound good is part of that journey, because you're doing everything you can to make it, you know, you're trying to maybe copy a sound that's, you know, like on a recording. Like, I remember having like my, I don't know what it would have been, like $600 or $800 kit. Well, $800 kit at the time. I think today that kit would probably be worth like $500. But, and like listening to like Metallica albums and like trying to make them sound like that. But you know, like just doing what you can to make them sound better, because yeah, like once I did, it was like, you know, I loved playing it. And funnily enough, like I remember like the biggest issue was like the kick drum. Like, before you learn about putting pillows in kick drums and getting more of, like, just that thud, which is, you know, even on, like, the shittest kit, well, is fine, because when you, a lot of times when you get it, it's like that bong, 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 you get that kind of sound, which is funny, because now I'm actually playing with nothing in my kick. But to be fair, like, you know, it's like a 22 by 20 reference pure kick, and you know, there's like a nice thick P4 coated head on the kick as well, and even like the resonant heads that come with the kit are sick as well. So it's still like really controlled and I guess tuned like fairly well. So you know, there's you know, there's that as well. But even still, like, if it was like a really ringy kick drum, I wouldn't be mad at it. So, you know, it's funny how some of these things come around. Forgot where I was going with all of that. But anyway, bottom line is that just, yeah, the guy, kit was sounding good. So, kit was sounding and feeling really, really good. But at the same time, things articulate better as well when they're tuned better. Well, depending on how you wanted to tune it anyway. But the way I had it tuned, things were articulating a lot better. And plus, with the recording session coming up next month, obviously I'm going hard on the with the old microscope on the playing. And I've gotten back to miking the kick in the practice room, which... why wouldn't I have been doing that before? Ah, that's right, because now my... because before I had, like, my little mini mixer, and obviously there's not enough... weren't enough things in there to have, like, a kick drum mic in there. But now that I've retired my six-channel mixer to the practice room, now I can have all that shit. Except I'm not using it like the... like, say, with triggers, where it's, like, just so prominent. It's like, you know, it's like you're playing two separate instruments. And, like, yeah, I know, like, a drum kit is, like, a whole bunch of instruments, but it really does have a feel of separation when you're playing with triggers, even though in a perfect world, that's not how you're feeling it, but that's, you know, that's the reality of it. So now I'm just, all I'm doing is, like, adding the kick drum, well, you know, A, to get a little, you know, actually feel a bit of body out of it, and just to add a bit of articulation to it, because it's very easy for it to, you know, you can't really go off the feel, as far as I'm concerned anyway. Like, oh, for this style of music, I should say, because it's a bit more precision-based. So maybe having that in the practice room adds a bit to it. Also, having a kick mic picks up a bit of bottom end of the toms as well. So you get a bit, you know, it makes things a little bit more feely. Maybe that's why the kit was sounding good. Fuck. I'm not arguing. I guess if the kit wasn't tuned that good, then that would be getting picked up and be even worse. I'm going with that. So, and I just, like, doubled up on the songs. But for me, that's enough for me, where if I like, not so much doing this, running the set twice in a row, but doing each song in the set twice and digging in pretty hard as well, that was pretty much right as rain by the end. And I was fucking toast this morning as well. Like, I didn't train yesterday, like any sort of training, and I got up this morning to train, got to bed at a good time, slept pretty good, and I think I just got through my first set of pull-ups, and it was just like, and then push-ups, then went to do some of, like, the single leg body weight squat stuff, and I'm like, it wasn't even, I just felt weak and tired, could not push through that tiredness thing. So that's all good. Like, I just moved on to some other stuff. Like, I won't just bail, because, like, I sort of set up, like, I've got my alarm set for like a half hour workout that just goes off when it's like, cool, you're done. So I just kept going and just moved on to something else that still felt kind of good, and also stuff that I kind of have to do, like sort of stuff with my shoulders, because I got to keep my shoulders, like, keep them strong and intact, because yeah, there's the periods where I haven't say been hitting the gym and doing weights but playing lots and lots of drums, like my shoulders get really fucking, like, they get sore in, like not good ways. So, yeah. So, I still managed to, you know, do some sort of complete workout. But it sort of did occur to me that, like, I did run a couple of really hard sets last night. So, and yeah, like, that's also kind of the move as well. Like, if you're, at least for the drummers anyway. But, like, when, so the first gig's out of the way as far as, like, this, silly season for the next 4 weeks or so, with playing with Cherry Lips on Friday, which is like, that's like the, you know, the cover band version, which, so I went through that sort of that distinction last time. And like Penny the singer, like, she does lots of gigs, like, she's like, you know, every single week, but her main thing well, you know, her main thing is like a Fleetwood Mac thing and like different corporate, you know, sort of things, which are, you know, they're a bit more lower key, lower energy and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, the pub covers, which, you know, which I've done with her most of the time, yeah, it's like much more higher energy. And even with that stuff, I'll prep for that too. Like, even if I know the shit, can do it, it's all good. And, you know, it can just be as simple as re-listening to the songs. Like, I am, yeah, in there getting my chops up. And, yeah, she was the same. She's like, 6 weeks ago, I was getting on the fucking elliptical machine, all that shit, to, you know, to prep for these shows. Like, maybe it's an age thing. Like, you know, I'm like 34, pushing 28, and she's like at least 100. So maybe we just have to do that. I was like, even at the gig, because we were doing ones that, you know, that we were doing like, you know, at least 10 years ago, where like, you know, you would do like Blink 182, Damn It, and, you know, which is fast as fuck. And I don't punk out on those verses, like, you know, like, you know, go on ham on the hats and all that shit. And I don't plan on bailing anytime soon. But yeah, even that one, like, I was just like, I had to prep for that on the night. I had to fucking really guts it out. And I wasn't even sure how quick I was doing it. But like, yeah, I think I remember like back in the day doing that song. I mean, bear in mind, we were, you know, playing every week as it was. Yeah, just getting up and, you know, like second, third song of the first set, warm up with a stubby of Jack and away you go. Like, I mean, I was stretching and doing a light warm up and stuff back then, but it was just kind of like, yeah, no worries. And, yeah, I think, I mean, was it in the second set that don't recall. I have a feeling it was in the second set, which that does make it a bit more tricky, because, you know, we were only doing two sets, and you get like, I think we had like at least a 20, 25 minute break, and 20 minutes is enough to be a problem, like warming back down again. And I think it was sort of like, oh, we're back on. I'm like, oh fuck, you know, so didn't really get that chance to warm up again. So I probably only had it as much as the first song or two to make it happen. If it was the first set, I've got no excuses, but I'm pretty sure it was the second. But overall, that gig went really, really well, you know, for what it was. I mean, like, yeah, no, look, it went really well. Like, I mean, for me, like, the Yardstick, it's always the gig. Like, it's always just, like, in terms of, like, how we sounded on stage. I don't fucking care if there's three people there. Like, if there's three people and I play like ass, I'm not happy about it. Like, I'm really... Okay, so that beep is my E-tag on the tollway. I had more than a few... I had a few people, like, as in literally fews of people, telling me that they were listening to this in the car and the beep sounded like it was coming from inside their car. So they were like freaking out, and not to mention like, what the fuck, like, where was this, like, I don't know. But yeah, either way, it was like, for me, I was actually legitimately concerned, because like, if people are like listening and driving and they get distracted, and I don't know, any distraction on the road is no must. So now you know. Fuck, what was I talking about? No road rage today as well, even though there wasn't really much last time, but yeah. I'll get to that one in a minute. The gig, evaluating by the gig. So if all the other stuff is in place, that is, to me, like, honest to God, that's a bonus. It really is. Like, I'll take played awesome to five people over played average to fucking heaps of people any day of the week. Any day of the week. Like, when it's all on point. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's like, kind of sucks where it's like, fuck, we played good, I wish someone saw that. But, because to me, that's where, like, the end result of all your toil is what you produce on the stage. So I guess it doesn't make much sense to me that that anything else should be its reward. Because a lot of the, I mean, and it could be just like a sort of a conditioning thing from like playing with cover bands and stuff like that, where it's like, it's the venue's crowd. So it's not really, you know, it doesn't make a difference to me who's there. And also, like, obviously the cover band stuff, you know, pays well. You're there for a payday. Like, you know, and a good way to make money, don't get me wrong. And there was like, but you know, there was actually like a really good crowd there. Like, I've got to get Penny on the podcast so we can talk about this shit, because it just seems more and more that these more like outer suburbs gigs seem to be like kind of happening. Like, and there was like a real, and like quite a broad mix of like, of people there too, like mix ages, and what have you. So yeah, look, like, it might not be as dead as fuck as I think it is. So, yeah, I'm going to send her a message after this. We'll get chatting about that, because she's on both ends of it. She's been in the game for years, and now, well, obviously she still does it, but also works at an agency too. So she, like, you know, she knows what's up with a lot of bands. So there's that too. And I'm talking like, so our first set was at 11 p.m., which is savage. Second set would have been at around 12:30. It would have been earlier than that, because we were wrapping up at around 1, I think. 1:10. And oh my God, Robbie Williams on a billboard. Fuck, he looks like a shoe. It looks like a shoe crossed with a Tickle Me Elmo. That's fucking horrifying. Anyway. But there was more people there for the second set than the first. So I don't know where, like, because, I mean, like, if you've gone somewhere, like, somewhere else, like, I mean, unless there's, like, some other, like, heaps better clubs around. But, like, say if you've been in the city where there's obviously much better shit to do, you're not going to end your night at the Dorset Gardens. Like, you would just end it somewhere else in the city where it's heaps better. Unless you're like getting a train out. Look, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of like reasons why it was like, if you know, it was filling up after midnight. Like, I'm sure there's like, it's, I guess it's probably like the case with like a lot of sort of outer suburbs things or like regional things where it's like, there's this pub, everyone starts at this pub and everyone goes to this pub afterwards, kind of thing. Might be that kind of thing. But anyway, makes a difference to me. We played good. I don't know why I had, like, I'm trying to think why I was surprised about how well it went. And I don't mean like for everyone else, but you know, I was sort of expecting, like, similar to that Rival Fire thing, right, where I was just kind of like, although that was really bad, it was mentally really bad. I was like tearing myself up, but and then wound up having some fucking ripper performances. And not that I was sort of going like that with this one, but I was just kind of like, oh, you know, I've sort of, you know, I ran through all the tunes, and these are tunes I've done fucking hundreds of times, so it's no, you know, worst case scenario for that one, still, you know, isn't bad, but that doesn't feel good though. Like, even when you wing a song really, really well, it's not a good feeling. I don't get any enjoyment out of that, because I'm on edge the whole time, and there's absolutely no fucking way. I mean, no, I can't. Okay, so I was going to say there's absolutely no way that you could perform a song as well as if you knew it like 100% rote, but there is, but then it's like, well, I know that when it's go time, no matter how, you know, what situation I'm in, like, I'm going for it as if I know it really, really, really well. Like, you've got no choice. So, But there still has to be, like, a discrepancy as insofar as, like, you know, like, in just that level of confidence. And it could just be, like, you know, as much as, you know, 1%, you know, 2%. But, yeah, it's still, yeah. So even if I'm trying to get across, like, that really solid performance and all that kind of stuff, even though inside I'm like, I hope this goes well. It's, yeah, I'm not a fan of it. Like, it just doesn't feel good. Like, because, you know, it's in a way, you're kind of, like, lying. And look, don't get me wrong, like, this isn't, like, necessarily a matter of, I mean, in a sense, it is lack of preparation, but this lack of preparation is sometimes getting a call 24 hours beforehand, and you're just trying to meet the band halfway with, like, it's like, okay, look, I know all of these ones, I know these ones, and, you know, you sort of meet in a place where you've got, like, I might have to sort of try and get, like, another, you know, 5 or 6 songs. You know, I can't remember the last time that happened because, you know, well, A, I can't remember the last time I've had, like, a 24, 48 hours notice covers gig. And on top of that, like, you know, my playlist is, like, fairly solid, mostly because there's just not much band music on the radio. So a lot of the time it's just like, yeah, done all of that. And send me your tracks and I'll, you know, check the endings and all that sort of shit. So, yeah. It's never been quite like that. So, and I think this one also came up like 3 weeks ago. And it's just sort of been caught in amongst this world. I kind of had to like just sort of sit down and stagger everything out and go, okay, well, I'm just going to have to brush all these songs off the week of, because that's been how I've worked out this. See, I don't know where I was kind of at with the last podcast in terms of how I was deciding to deal with this slew of gigs, but it's mostly been in sort of like almost like ranked in terms of difficulty and urgency. So that recording session is just a constant state of emergency because it's a recording. So, and the music is not easy. So in that regard, it's just like I've pretty much just got to make sure I'm doing that every day. And depending on how much work is required for each particular gig, based on its level of difficulty, that's how I'm staggering it in. God, I hope this is useful to you. So the mirror stuff, although I've only got to brush it off and there's rehearsals involved, you know, it requires a little bit more than a dust off here and there. So rehearsals plus one really solid practice sesh in between, that will cut it. And a practice sesh is like, so if it's either running the set, which is 25 minutes, or doubling up, which is like 50, which I really needed to do last night, and I got that effective. It was effective. And, you know, cover set, once again, because it's, because I've sort of, you know, realized where I'm at this point with the cover stuff, that I still need to just physically get up to snuff. Those tunes still need to be run. So, but they only need to be run once, right? So just sort of interspersing those, you know, in groups throughout the week, and made that happen. So, but yeah, like everything felt really, really good. I do have to like take my hat off to Tony as a party. Just for like the onstage sound. Like, I've played there before and he's got like these, you know, fucking great big speakers that like, you know, the drum fallback is usually to like either your left or right. This one is just like this small wall of speakers that's like directly behind you and it goes like pretty much up to your head. So that's, you're laughing. So it had all the drums running through that. Oh, and the kick sounded and felt awesome. So, and it was like at the right level too, where it was like, everything was just blending together. Sometimes it can get a bit much and it's like right in your face and it's like, it can actually throw you off a little bit. So That was a fucking home run. So that kind of, I think that thing kind of really can actually, this is why I sort of try and get some drums in my fold back, you know, some toms, a little bit of snare, and obviously, I mean, most drummers get kick, but I try and get a bit of everything. Don't really worry about cymbals. So I think when you get a bit of that feel of how the kit is coming out of front of house, like, you know, with just the toms with their attack and the resonance, and same with the kick and all that kind of thing, you're kind of just getting like that sort of direct feedback, like not the bad feedback. But so yeah, I feel like that really made a difference now I think about it, you know. And also to be like, you know, there was like a little bit of a factor of, so there was a fill-in guitarist, Guy Collison, nice guy, really nice guy. And so there's always this kind of factor of, when there's like a new guy in the mix, because like, you know, a lot of, you know, everyone who's like filling in is jumping in with all these different things. So it's like, well, that's another node in the network there. So obviously if you, you know, if the show itself, you know, if you're perhaps a bit too comfortable, then there's that added thing of, hey, we've got this guy there. This is a good, you know, even more motivation to really like throw down. And on top of that, and he killed it, by the way. And just actually, you know what? Like, I mean, obviously, you know, he played really well, but he just had a great vibe on stage. That really made a difference. Like, I mean, of course it does, but like, it's just, I mean, because like, to be honest, like, you know, he played, you know, played fine, played exactly, you know, as you would expect a, you know, cover band guitarist to play, but like, but his more his on stage vibe was like, just great. Like, it didn't have any of that, because like, sometimes you get that cat where it's just like, oh, you've done this before. But for him, it had like that, just that, you know, like experienced, but like still enjoying himself. And that carried across the stage. So it was really good. You know, that creates like a feedback loop. And on top of that, because I've been making my way through Jimmy Barnes's bio, I'll tell you one thing that's been really infectious has been just how he talks about performing on stage, right? And just that whole thing of like just leaving it all out there. And I was just like, fucking yeah, like that's really is where it's at. And you know, and he owes so much to just that mentality, right? Of just giving the audience just fucking all they can handle. So, cause yeah, I mean, I like it kills me when I like, if I turn up to a pub and it's just like that particular cover band has just clearly been doing it for like way too long, and you can just see it, and it's just like they're clocking on so hard. So yeah, it's just like it made me really think about that. And even if it's just like, well, you know, it's like this is your cover band thing, like, you know, yeah, I'll maybe for my original band I'll do that, but it's like, you know, these are habits that, you know, you cultivate. Like, it's very hard to like just like decide, okay, now I'm gonna switch it on, now I'm gonna make it happen. And it's like, well, I don't know, I don't really buy that. Like, and if you are gonna do that, like, how good is it gonna be? Like, I was talking to someone about this the other day in regards to like say day job kind of stuff. Like, in my head it's like, so like I'm working full time, and then when work finishes it's like, okay, it's like in a way now my day starts, because, you know, now I'm off doing all the music stuff and all the surrounding things. And, but, you know, and I, and like, you know, I've sort of heard this sort of in other places as well, but, you know, I really felt like, and it's, and don't get me wrong, it's not like I've had like, you know, a terrible attitude about work. I mean, I have in the past, don't get me wrong. But just the more I would think about it, the more it's just like, I don't see how being in one place and cultivating a poor attitude about a given behavior, I don't see how doing that means that there's not going to be some sort of remnant of that carried over into the rest of my day, right? So, yeah, it makes the most sense to me to cultivate the right habit no matter where I am, right? So, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to fuck a million miles an hour at work because of that fact that, like, I've just, you know, I have long days. But at the same time, you know, I'm not fucking off either. So, you know, and I was like talking to other people about that kind of thing as well, where it's like, if you got things that you really, really want, but you got this, but you're half-assing these other things because they're just obligations or just things that you just don't care about, but you have to do them anyway. I think that's just going to make it all the harder to get up for the, you know, the things you do care about. So, yeah, I guess that's just like the definition of work ethic. And hey, if you're just like fucking slaying it 24/7, then my hat goes off to you, sir. So, where was I going with that? The Barnsley thing. So, yeah, with cover bands and shit. And also, like, man, if you're like, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, if you're working full time and you're doing an extra 2 nights a week of cover band stuff, you know, that's a nice way to supplement the income. But, like, man, if you're just like fucking done, then yeah, stop wasting your own time. You could be at home with your, I mean, like, if you're single, it doesn't matter, but you know, you could be around your close friends or any of that sort of shit. Just trying to think where I was going to go from there. And I'm also trying to merge into traffic, so bear with me. Safety first. So anyway, yeah, hit that on the head. And it's also, that's what I was going to say. So, all right, I'm backtracking. So I think it's also because there was a bit of a conversation that was being had about, I guess it was about like just some people who were just on the ride for too long and they're, I don't know, they'd probably be like well into their 40s, still going hard, and they're doing fucking, you know, they're doing drugs, they're doing, you know, spending their money on coke and speed and getting fucking lit up beyond belief. And look, do what you want, like, I don't care. But if you're kind of that age and you're going that hard still and you're just doing the cover band thing, then yeah, something's really wrong. I mean, I guess if you're going that hard in any situation, something's wrong. But yeah, that's probably a sign you've been doing that shit for a little bit too long. And you probably are doing it for the wrong reasons and may have even started for the wrong reasons as well. So, you know, that's the reality of it. Anyway, I've got another one of those cover gigs this weekend. Different band, different set list. But I saw the set list earlier and it pretty much looks like it's the New Year's, the set list I did with them on New Year's Eve. And that's still relatively fresh in my head and the charts are still handy, so I can pull that together, no worries. Is that a fucking wedding dress? Was wedding? What the fuck? Oh, it's a bollard. Okay, so yeah, that one will be fine. Mirrors rehearsal tonight, so that means I'm set for those. I think I've got that Buble show is next week. That one's like sitting in the middle. I've got to I've done all those songs a bunch before, but I've got to dust them off. And that's another one that's almost like relearning them. I think there's like one or two new ones and they're like fairly straightforward. So, and it's more like relearning the jazz thing too. Because like stylistically, like that's the big one with that gig. Like, I mean, it's not the most easy gig. Like it varies from like sitting back and just like swinging and it's all cool to, you know, like lots of catches and, you know, maybe some like sort of up-tempo Latin shit and rah, 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 rah. But the touch and the feel and the stylistic side of it is, like, my understanding of it is, like, changing all the time. So, once again, it's like a matter of, like, mapping this new understanding, new knowledge, and all that kind of stuff onto the music. But if there's one thing I took away from it when I started really early on, that hasn't changed, is that it's big band music. So, you know, you took it, like, even though the shows are like, I think they're like five piece with backing track, but, you know, point stands, there's a lot of instruments on the backing track anyway, where, you know, there's so much going on, you can't go wrong with just sitting back and just playing time and, like, smooth time. And that's, like, what I got, like, the most compliments for as well when I sort of, like, first did it. So, you know, once again, it's like, for me, it's not like, how am I going to wing this? It's like, it's just getting, like, the maximum amount of confidence into the game. So that should be, I'm not worried about that one. Just got to get, like, a few miles into it. What else has happened? I've charted most of the Fleetwood Mac stuff. I mean, that one, this is the other thing, like, I try and avoid the charts and all that sort of stuff for certain gigs. I'm probably going to have to do it for the Buble stuff. And I've learned all the Fleetwood, charted all the Fleetwood Mac stuff. And it's super straightforward. More so the, pretty much anything after Rumours is really straightforward. Just like straight time with just sort of smatterings of those signature Mick Fleetwood things here and there with like the hi-hat play and some of those snare variations and things that he adds in. But that could present its own like little problem, because when it's like, okay, here's the seventh song of straight time for 4 minutes, but which one has this particular stop and, you know, or this particular catch or whatever. So, you know, that presents its own thing. But considering, you know, like, it's a, and this one, like, you know, it's a, like, it's a very, very good show. So, like, I do not want to fuck this one up. But yeah, it's sort of like a lot of tunes fresh that I'm going in with. So I'm absolutely, you know, just low key, sort of like, sort of charts off to the side. Like, I always keep it, like, you know, have my little sort of low key way of keeping it out of the way. And plus, you know, drums up the back, all good. Like, we were having a good old rant about singers with iPads. It's if you're using iPads in the original scene, what the fuck, what are you? But in the cover scene too, it's just like, learn your shit. I mean, most of my shit is filling anyway, so, like, I'm going to have one or two charts, and if you are filling in, like, don't get me wrong, but we were talking about bands who have, like, complete lineup, out there gigging, and they're still using an iPad for their lyrics and all that sort of stuff, and for people who experience, you probably know, iPad, when you see an iPad, it's like mounted on the stand in front of everyone. They're playing, they're staring down at it. Fucking no bueno, my friends. And we are here. We are at the rehearsal studio. Is there a car park for me? Don't care, going in anyway, because I want to get my shit out of the car. Dun, 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 dun. Look out, buddy. Ah, well, thanks for listening to me rant. Oh, those same guys are here again. I'm working on the next conversation, have more conversations lined up. So we'll talk then. Thanks for listening.
Thanks again for listening, people. Just one last reminder, if you like what you've heard and you find it useful, you can support by liking, subscribing, leaving reviews, following, sharing on social media. I also have a Patreon page where if you happen to feel like it, you can donate $1 a month just to help keep things afloat, which is over at patreon.com/robbrenz. If you like, you can head over to my website, rob-brenz.com, if you want to get in touch or just want some more info. And while you're there, you can subscribe to my monthly newsletter, which contains some additional content, as well as my lunchtime lick series for all the drummers out there. See you soon.